is Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Rolla. And the interior of it. Most Lutheran churches we built with organs and choirs in the rear gallery. This is St. Paul Lutheran Church in Jackson, Missouri. And this was the Lutheran Student Center and Chapel in Carbondale, Illinois. Southern Illinois University. The whole wall here is a big window. The congregation faces the other way, and the students walk up and down the street going to class. They can see what's going on inside. And this was the interior of it. Presbyterian Church in Columbia, Missouri. Particularly, what was worked out to be a Presbyterian chapel, a chancel. Some of the committee members were faculty people from Missouri University, and decided the important thing was the cross in the center. Communion was important, but up as one thing, and then the big pulpit on one side, because the preaching is very important. The mosaic was a very fine example done by Ravenna. Mosaic shows different symbols, Christian symbols of the fish, and other things that were worked out, but that's all glass mosaic. And the light work could be lit from the bottom, like this way, and then there's also lights up here, and it can be switched, so it gets a little different light effects up in front. And one of the only the one Presbyterian church where we were able to show them why it was so much better to have the choir and the organ in the rear gallery. This is Trinity Lutheran Church in Cape Girardeau. And out of Japan, this is a church that was done in the 1938 by Steinmeier. The church seats about 300 people. It's now, of course, an old church, been there 125 years. And a few years back, it just had to grow. And we built the church to add on to it, the same materials to connect together. Show the other side of the wall, but and the interior chancel has this feature, just the Celtic cross, the symbols in it. So that's just a sample of some of the work we've done, as well as architecture you've seen. If you'll turn on the lights if there's any just questions or comments. I don't know what else we... Yes. Well, the big influence, I guess, comes from the Vatican II that came out. That was in the 60s, but it changed everything as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, and it's been picked up and used by a lot of the Protestant groups and out of our Lutheran people also. It's gotten away from the idea of this old type traditional a church being a particularly worship type place, where you know that when you walk in, you're in a church, and you realize it's different than another kind of building. At least so many of the new Protestant churches are done more like auditoriums and open, flexible type things. People, instead of looking at one place part of the altar and the pastor. Now it's a matter of gathering people all around, and they have churches that are wide and shallow. That all happened, you know, back in late 1800s. In Akron, Ohio, they invented a Methodist church. It was just a square, and then on one side they connected the Sunday school section, and it opened up between them so that it was closed off when they had Sunday school, and then they'd open it up, and there'd be people gathered all around. St. Mark's Church of our Missouri Synod down there was built at that time with that type, and I guess there are a couple more like that around. And our church, I grew up in it, on Calvary over on Union Avenue, was mainly a square building. It did have wings like transepts and had arches, trusses that looked much more like the type. But basically, it was the pews went round and they sloped down. An old Trinity Church, right after they had the typhoon knocked it down in 1896, was it? They rebuilt it. They changed it from a straightforward church that it was. They built it up, built the floor sloping up, and built the pews going around. And that was a fad for a while. And then when I was taught that was just all out of date as far as an all wrong way of making auditorium type things, theater type seats, arrangements and things. And it had to be the traditional Gothic was the right kind of seat.
Yeah. Used a lot of stained glass. And do you think stained glass is going a lot out of use today? And if so, could we get the cost and maybe does it?
I would guess it's mainly the cost. Cathedral is wonderful for a church because you don't have to put drapes up and you don't have to have shades up and so forth. And it generally tempers it down enough as far as the glass and the sun coming in. Plus, it makes a great display and tells the great stories in it. So that we tried to use stained glass wherever we could. A number of churches that we use some. Up at Valparaiso, the university, they hope someday, I guess, to have stained glass all around, but they just have part of it. One of our friends told me that he thought it was nice to have a mixture of both kinds. It wouldn't be entirely closed off and being covered because you can't see out when you have stained glass. But it's nice that you don't. The preacher wants to hear people and wants to talk to people and wants to pay attention to them. It's nice to have it. Well, they don't see all that's going on outside. I suspect one of these days they're going to do that out at our headquarters, where you go to that chapel and you watch the trusses, trucks and everything else go by. So they need something out there.
The chapel, we're talking about not using anything at all. Is that the cost? Why is that?
Somebody might be talking about that. So far, we're not talking about that. We hope we'll have some. Yeah. No, it's nothing. Nothing's really decided. It's just beginning to come up with ideas on it. And there's a lot of people that have been involved in it, and there are a lot of ideas. Come on. How did I get into it?
Well, that's just my interest. For as long as I got into architecture, that was one of the things I thought was an important thing to build. And was finally able to, I spent a year on study of Lutheran church architecture for my master's, both my master's thesis and my subject. Spent a year of history study, reading. And ever since then, looking at them wherever I can. I was very fortunate to get involved with go to work for a man when I was at the beginning. A man who was very much in church work and had done a lot of it, was very much involved in it, was crazy. And one of the churches that he did was St. Andrew's over in University City, and a number of other churches around St. Louis. So I was glad to learn everything he could tell me. Very glad to get involved with it.
Designed some 150, if I recall.
Something like that?
Something like that.
Well, he surely left his mark all over, Dr. Chen.
Hi.
On the white side, Rachel, I was out in Houston some years ago. Some developer, land developer, was showing around the subdivision. And we came across some rather unusual type of building. I don't know, they rent or whatever, but I don't quite remember now. So I said, well, what is this?
Got an answer for that? Any other questions? One more.
I'd like to ask Rex's opinion of the Lutheran Church of Helsinki, Finland. I just put that on your collection here somewhere. The one that is blasted out of rock with a glass and copper ceiling, and supposed to be acoustically perfect, and from what we could hear, it was rather good. So, what's your opinion of that type?
I can't tell you. I missed that one. I haven't been there. I'm not familiar with it.
It's been in a lot of architectural magazines from time to time. Since it is the quote Lutheran in Poet, I think.
Yeah.
That's something that's a good glass without a rock here. It's been really cool.
Well, we want to express our thanks again to Mr. Becker. I know that the first question people asked, speaking of his work as chairman of our chapel committee, and we're fortunate to have two members, incidentally, on the committee who are architects, also Ernie Burgess, who's been a member of our President's Advisory Council, also a Missouri Synod architect in New Orleans. One of the first questions people ask is our chapel on campus going to, what is it going to look like? Is it going to be a match to our present architecture? And I can assure you that the feeling of our committee is very strong to that effect, that we should like it to blend in our architecture just as closely as we can conform it to what we have originally. Now that, of course, brings with it the attendant problem of cost because of the fact that this beautiful architecture here is far more expensive to build than it would be to put up a modern structure. But we can't say anything more definite because, as Mr. Becker mentioned, we're architects are just really beginning their sketching and their design work, and we're still trying to get a lot of input. There's nothing really by way of a substantive progress report other than to say that God is abundantly blessing our thank offering appeal in its initial efforts, and we do hope and pray that within the next months now we will have something very definite to not only a tell program to our donors but also a show and tell program so that we can bring them something more definite with regard to our plans. But we're certainly grateful to you, Mr. Becker, for everything and all that you have done and meant to our beloved church, and leaving your mark as you have through your design in so many places and enhancing the worship of so many of God's people as they come for word and sacrament. And we are thankful also to you tonight for the wonderful presentation that you made. We'll say that. Thanks again for coming, and I know some of you